Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. I'm your host, Damon, and today we would like to welcome back to the show Mark LaChica for our special Father's Day episode. So welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Mark, I know you've been on the show before, but we wanted to ask you again, what's something that God's been highlighting to you recently?
So recently for me, actually at the end of last year, I read a book, which is sort of rare for me.
I know, but a lot of guys don't like to read.
It's more challenging for me, but I've gotten better as I've gotten older. I almost finished reading Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Mm. And it might sound familiar. It's what the Women's Bible Study is going to go over this summer. And it was actually really impactful for me about thinking about slowing down and being present in the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of getting over a season where it's been really busy again with the kids in sports and baseball and end of the year activities for school.
You had a really big project at work too, right?
I had a huge, huge project at work for the month of May, and it was crazy. I did like ridiculous amount of hours. So now I'm like, okay, I need to refocus and just get back in the present, because I feel like it's easy to get stuck where like you're in a situation, but you're already thinking about the next one. Mm-hmm. So you're not even present in the situation that you're currently in. So I'm just trying to be present, especially with my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about Father's Day, with my family and stuff. So that's kind of where I'm focusing again, is trying to slow down.
I mean, I think that's something that all of us are dealing with. And as you know, that's why the women are going through it too, because I think that's something that we all deal with. And you know, when they actually announced that that was the theme, I was thinking of, you know, maybe putting on a wig and actually kind of joining on the Zoom, but they said it was on Right Now Media, so we can just check it out there on Right Now Media. So there, that's The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. Yep. And the videos are available for all the men out there on Right Now Media. Okay, so Mark, what do you feel like has been the hardest thing for you to stay present in this new season?
It's probably like when I'm just at home with my kids. If there's something big coming up, like for me, this podcast has kind of been on my mind. For some reason, doing things like this make me anxious.
You're a pro. You don't need to worry about that.
Sorry, I can't help it. But so like even I was talking with Trish earlier, and she was asking me about something. Oh, we need to sit down and talk to the kids about this, and in my head, I'm like processing because I'm an internal processor. So I'm thinking and not responding. Luckily, I didn't get in trouble. But I was just like, let me just get through the podcast and then we'll talk about it. So, So just when I have certain things coming up, it's like I really focus on it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard for me to just relax in whatever moment that is. Mm-hmm. And now that my kids are out of school, they're home. So it's like I have time to do things with them. But mm-hmm. sometimes my mind is so occupied with what's coming up. And so, I'm trying not to be that way.
So, well, I think a lot of people are like that. So do you have any tips for any of us, some things that you do?
You know, it might sound rudimentary or simple, but really just trying to release it to God. Mm-hmm. I know that's easier said than done, but really just trying to say, God, this is in your hands. You take care of it for me. Mm-hmm. I trust you. Easier said than done, but sometimes just stopping and pausing for that moment to pray that and talk to God about that. I noticed that he will carry it for you.
I think that sounds like a very practical thing that we can all do. And I don't know how many people actually take that step. It seems pretty simple to do.
Right. Yeah. Really just engaging God in all of your decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really where we're supposed to be as Christians, and like being mature Christians is just carrying his word with us and making our decisions based on what his will is for us also.
Yeah, so if any of you are new to our church, you might hear the letters ATL, which is Ask the Lord. Some people go around, that's kind of one of their mantras, ATL. So if you hear that, it means Ask the Lord. And that's just their way of trying to engage the Lord in each decision that they're making.
Hey, that's new to me. I thought you were going to say Atlanta or something.
I mean, it is the shorthand for Atlanta, but yeah, people at our church, some of them will walk around saying ATL, and really that's their way of trying to engage the Lord with each thing that they're trying to do, and it's a very tangible way for them to do that. Okay, so Mark, you're on the show today to talk about fatherhood. So I wanted you to give our listeners a little bit of an experience of your journey of being a father. You've got a son who just got a brand new car, so it's a new season for you as a father. But seeing that, you've been a father for a while. So yep. Can you share with us a little bit about your journey?
Yeah, so I was pretty young when I found out we were going to have our first child. Trish and I were just reflecting on that recently, and she was telling me or reminding me how when she first told me that she was pregnant, I pretty much changed color and had to lay on the bed because I was like, oh man, I'm working this part-time job, making like very little money. How am I going to provide for this child, right? So I was pretty young, but you know, looking back, you know, prior to coming on the podcast, I was kind of reflecting as to like what's made me a father, what's impacted me as far as becoming the father that I am. And I shared on the last podcast a lot about how my dad was with my mom and how he loved her, right? If you guys didn't hear it, it's on the last podcast with Trish and I when we talk about submission.
You know, the S word.
The S word. So, you know, my mom had a mental disability with schizophrenia and depression and stuff like that. And my dad worked full time. He cared for the house. He cared for his six kids. And what I remember is looking back is feeling secure and loved. But I can't really pinpoint why I felt secure and loved because, you know, I'm Filipino, so my dad isn't very affectionate. And I think that's kind of cultural. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of Asian parents don't really show affection, don't really give you many words of affirmation, right?
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us can relate to that.
Yeah, right. So there wasn't much of that. There wasn't hugging, I love you. There wasn't a lot of that. But he was always present. He was always there. He was always available. And, you know, just seeing him around the house all the time, he was always cooking, always feeding us, always feeding the guests. So I just felt loved and secure and just knowing that my dad was there and I felt protected. So I think that has had a huge impact on me. So I always feel like I want to be home with my kids. You know, it's easy to be distracted or to be pulled towards hobbies, towards different things, hanging out with your friends. And there was a season of that where I wanted to do other things, but I realized I was missing out. I was missing out on my kids. I was missing out on the connection and having fun. I just really want to be present with my kids and spend that quality time with them and slow down and be present, to be with them. You know, giving them that sense of security and trying to be more, more like intentional, more intentional about showing affection. So now it's awkward sometimes. It feels awkward to hug your 17-year-old son because he's like as big as me, you know, so it's weird, but it's nice. You know, once you get past the discomfort to be able to see, like even today when he gets home from practice or whatever, like, come here, give me a hug. And we hug each other and it's like, I love you. And you know how, like, I don't know, it just feels so good to be able to do that. And that wasn't something that was normal with my dad. Right. So,
And I think, I mean, what that does in Christian and all of your sons. And I feel like there's a longing in each of us as men to hear their father to say, I love you, and to give you that type of embrace and to, you know, that type of embrace where it makes you feel loved and cared for and secure, kind of like you were saying, you know, how for you, just that feeling of security that, you know, my dad is there and he's going to protect me, you know, that changes things. And for me, seeing Christian and how he's able to stand up for his faith, I think that is such a huge part of what's, you know, the consequences. I mean, consequences is such a negative word, but, you know, result of you and how you've raised him and helped him to feel secure that he can just stand for his faith and all of these other situations where he might feel alone, but he's able to stand strong and stand firm.
Right. Right. And there's a lot of, you know, we do have a lot of what seems like uncomfortable conversations, you know, and there's a lot of times with kids growing up, certain things happen or, you know, if I make a mistake. So, okay. So early on in me being a father, one of the things I noticed, like from my dad, I saw how much he respected my mom so much. Right. So like early on, in our parenting, anytime Trish was disrespected, I immediately took her side and was like, you know, the boys were in trouble essentially. And I didn't even hear them out. And that was my mistake. So now at least now I give them the opportunity to share what happened. Cause there's always two sides of the story. Right. And then now it's like, it's even easier for me to say, hey, I'm sorry for what I said or how I reacted. Or okay, no, I'm sorry for how I reacted. I meant what I said, but I didn't say it the right way. Mm-hmm. I didn't deliver it with love, but I meant what I said. Mm-hmm. You know, because sometimes it's easy to raise your voice and to sound so irritated.
Yeah.
You know, and that message comes off completely wrong.
Yeah.
Right? But us as fathers, we are supposed to discipline our children. Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to guide them in the way that they are supposed to carry themselves in the character that they're supposed to have. Right. So for them to respect mom is very important to me. Mm-hmm. But it's just how I deliver the message.
Yeah. That's so good, Mark. So one of the things that I also wanted for us to talk about today is just the atmosphere in our country and in our world too, and what the enemy is trying to do to, whether it's take fathers out of the home or all of the examples that we have of fatherhood being negative. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know you did a little bit of research on this too. I kind of printed out some stuff that I found, and then Mark said, I found that one too. That's the one that I brought too. So can you share with us a little bit about the father absence crisis in America today?
So one of the things that the thing that we both found, about 25% of children grow up without a father figure, whether that's the real dad, stepfather, or just a father figure. And the ones that do grow up without that person in their life, it says they have 4 times greater risk of poverty, more likely to have behavioral problems, 2 times greater risk of infant mortality, more likely to go to prison, more likely to commit crime. So a lot of different things can happen as a result of being raised without that father figure that's present. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we're seeing right now in our nation just how different things are. Mm-hmm. And what's been impressed upon me is it really just starts in the home. Mm. You know, all these leaders that we have, they all had parents. Mm-hmm. And how they lead right now is probably a direct reflection of their upbringing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the way we raise the next generation, they're the ones that are going to become teachers. They're the ones that are going to become principals and politicians and all that, right? So they're the ones that are going to shape our country. Mm-hmm. So it's really up to us as parents to raise them in the right way. Mm-hmm. and to follow God. Mm-hmm. And to like we were saying earlier, to include God in all of their decision making.
Yeah, and to me, it just seems so evident that the enemy really wants to take fathers out of the home. And whether it's in that way or, you know, growing up, some of the TV shows that were big when I was younger were things like The Simpsons. And mm-hmm. Homer Simpson was the dad, right? And he's a very aloof, not a very smart, not a very present, a very angry father, right? Or people like on, I don't know if anyone's going to remember this show, Married with Children, right?
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. Yeah, where he's sitting there with his hands, just on the couch.
Right, and so it just seems like a lot of the examples that we have today of fatherhood is very negative. And so for those of us that were growing up, and that was a question that I always had, is what does it look like for me to be a man? And then what does it look like for me to be a man who has a child, right? And how do I want to raise my kids? And, you know, And then also understanding if God's our father and he should be the ultimate example for me of what a father looks like. And how is that so different than what the world is saying a father looks like?
Mm-hmm. So something that happened to me recently is when we're at church during the last set of worship, mm-hmm. Ross was playing a song and I'm not going to sing it because I don't want to hurt you guys, but it's I run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I'll run to the Father again and again and again. And during that song, I was just really trying to connect with the Lord, and what he gave me was, it was Father God. And it was this image of Father God, and he was kneeling with his arms wide open. And I could just see myself running to him and hugging him. And he was just so welcoming and embracing, and like whatever he did as Father God gave me the comfort and security to feel safe to come to him. And I was just like, wow, that's like so amazing. I just felt at so much peace and love in that moment. And I was like, wow, God, like, how do I do that for my kids? Like, I really want my kids to feel that way. And sometimes I wonder, am I doing the right things to make them feel that way? So that really resonated with me that Sunday. And it stuck with me as the week went on. And on Monday, one of my neighbors, he does a men's Bible study for the community.
That's cool.
Men in the community. Yeah, it's really awesome, actually. So, you know, this is still in the back of my mind, that song and that image of Father God with his arms wide open. And I was just really longing for that for my kids. Like, I had a real deep desire for that. So I get back from this men's Bible study. I open the screen door, and Nicholas, my youngest, he's 9. He pops out of the kitchen and goes, "Raw!" and then he just embraces me with this huge hug and his cheek, you know, just up against my stomach, and he just squeezed me so tight. And I was just like, wow, God, you are so good.
Yeah. Right?
Just to answer me in that way, to tell me that I'm heard, that I'm seen. And then I'm like, I'm kind of dismissing it. Like, oh, that's Nick. He's 9. He's the baby. He gets away with everything. Of course he's going to do that. Right. So the night goes on. I'm sitting on the couch watching TV with Nick. And we're just, you know, not really doing anything. And then Christian comes out and he walks into the living room, and I could just see it in his face. He's broken. His eyes are filled with tears. And excuse me. And he just jumps into my arms. And he's, you know, he's crying on my shoulder. And I just felt like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, this is totally random, out of the blue. Mm-hmm. And he's just in my arms, and I'm hugging him. I'm squeezing him so tight. And he's just weeping. And we're both weeping, like, oh, this is weird. Like, I'm just thinking about the image, right? And then where is this coming from? I'm worried. I'm concerned about what's going on in his mind. And then he goes to share that. And I asked him if it's okay if I share this. And he's like, I've been feeling so lonely, and I've been really depressed and just sad. And it, you know, it just made me squeeze him tighter. And he's like, you know, I've been listening to country music a lot, and it just wasn't doing it for me. So I put on worship music and I just began to pray in his room. And, he just confessed everything and told everything to God. And he was, just telling him how lonely he was feeling, and he was just feeling really connected. And he's like, I felt like I was supposed to come out and find somebody. And he went to the bedroom, but the door was closed. So then he came out to the living room and saw me. And he's like, and as soon as I saw you, I felt like the weight was lifted. And then so we're just hugging each other, and I was just like, dang, God, like, in my mind, I'm just like, this is crazy. Like, who else could orchestrate this? And like, I'm feeling like God hears me. He sees me. He's reaffirming that I am at least on the right track, that I'm trying. Right. I'm not perfect. I make my mistakes, but I'm trying. And he sees that. And I think he's honoring that. And at the same time, he's showing Christian how much he loves him too. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was just so, so amazing to experience that, to have God, you know, just reveal himself in that manner to each of us, mm-hmm. Individually, and also bringing us closer together.
Yeah, I mean, that just brings to mind, you know, when Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And then so you saw the Father kneeling down, waiting for you to come to him to embrace. And then you got to experience that as well. And that just brings that story to mind, and being able to just connect with the Lord in that way where you saw him do that. And then you got to experience that as the Father
right.
in that situation too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, God feels what we feel. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he walked in that living room and I saw his face, his body language and everything, I felt it. And my arms instinctively just went, you know, wide open. And he just plopped himself on top of me and held me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, dude, like, how else? I don't know. It's just, you can't explain it other than God, you know. And it was just a great moment. Trish came out. And we all talked for a little bit, and then he just continued to lay on me and, like, you know, lay his head on my shoulder. And to have your 17-year-old son, you know, do that with their dad, mm-hmm. I don't know that that's common.
Yeah, I don't think that's common at all.
You know what I mean? But I feel like it's right. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's right for men to be able to express themselves mm-hmm. Emotionally, because, like, you're talking about society and how we're depicted as lazy or whatever, but also I think we're kind of depicted as we should always be strong. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We should always have it together. But it's okay to let your guard down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm very glad the order that we did these podcasts in, because, you know, the last episode when Trish came on and she talked about the reconciliation that she was able to have with Christian and the other boys, you know, and so if you're out there listening and you're a father or a mother and you don't have that type of relationship with your kids that Mark is talking about, God is the God of reconciliation, and he can bring that to you too. So it's not just, oh, Mark's doing such a good job, which he is, but it's not just, oh, that's only for him. That's not for me. I messed up too much, or it's beyond repair. That's not true. That's a lie from the enemy. God is a God of reconciliation. If you think that your situation is bad, you can go back and listen to Trish's episode. It's the one called Chupacabra Mom. And it's just really a story of God's reconciliation journey with her and Christian. And just really how God brought them together. And it's an awesome story.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because she didn't mention some of the other stuff that happened. But essentially, long story short, you have to listen to that episode. But long story short, Christian was driving home from school, and Trish, they got into it really bad about his grades and stuff. And I mean, he just had his permit, I believe, at the time, and she was cussing at him. She was punching him in the arm. She told him to get out of the car, and then she drove, and he got back in the car, and then they went home, and it was just, like, well, chaotic, right? Like, completely chaotic. Well, meanwhile, I didn't know this was happening, but I was coming home from working out, and I was just – it was one of those moments where I was listening to worship music, and I was reflecting just on all the good things that God has done in my life. And I just felt super, super blessed. And I was, like, overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I was really, like, connected to the Holy Spirit and just like, oh my gosh, God, you are so good. I was in tears driving home mm-hmm. because I mean, I've lost my parents. There's been a lot of different things that I've gone through, and God has always revealed himself. So I was just reflecting on that. So I'm driving home on this spiritual high, and then I get home and Trish tells me what happened, and I'm like, whoa, now? Like, like after I experienced that, this is what happened, you know? So for me, the way I was able to respond in a more gentle manner was, I think, because I had just been in that moment with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Because had I not had that moment with God right before, I probably could have or would have reacted in my old way and just maybe lashing out and blaming Christian for it. Mm-hmm. because at the time when Trish told me, it was just Trish and I in the room, and Christian was in his room with the door shut. And I asked Trish, like, hey, after she told me, like, hey, just go for a walk, see if you could pray about it, and come back in 15 minutes. And then I was just sitting there praying about it, like, how do I handle Christian now? So all I did was I walked into the room where he was, and I just, you know, he's laying on the floor, and I could tell he's just broken, just staring at the carpet, literally just laying there. And I just kissed him on the forehead, and I just said, everything's going to be okay. And what I wanted to say was, you see what I've had to put up with for the past 15 years? No. don't get married. No, just kidding. That's a lie. But yeah, so, you know, you mentioned atmosphere earlier, and, mm-hmm. and us as fathers, we have the ability to, adjust the atmosphere, mm-hmm. right? Because we're called to lead, and we're in the home, and by the way we respond and do things, we can change the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going in there and asking a million questions with Christian or doing whatever probably wasn't the right thing, you know? So just kissing him on the forehead and saying, everything's going to be okay. Gave him a kiss and I walked out. And then next thing you know, he's coming out of his room laying on Trish to apologize. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, wow, you know, God, you're so good.
Yeah.
You're so good. And you know, for all you listeners out there, it's never too late. It's never too late. God can reconcile anything.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good, Mark. God is the God of reconciliation, and he's the God that wants our families to be strong, healthy, and under him, mm-hmm. right? So, Mark, before we let you go, I did want to ask you if you could say a prayer of blessing over all the dads and the spiritual dads out there, the people that are, you know, taking their time to mentor the next generation. If you could do that for us, that I think that would be a great way for us to close the show today.
Sure, sure. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you so much for trusting us men with this responsibility of leading the next generation, Lord. I want to lift up all the men that are stepping into this, and all the men that are even feeling uncomfortable because they're feeling like God's calling them to do more. And I just pray, Lord, that you reach each one of them, that you speak to each one of us, that you show us how we are to lead our families, how we are supposed to lead and love our children, and how we are supposed to speak truth to them, how we're supposed to speak love into them, to provide security for them. And I just pray a special covering over the men as they do this. I pray, Lord, that you go before them, that and you stand alongside of them. And I just pray that these men can go forward in confidence, knowing that you're there and you are going to provide, Lord. So we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thanks, Mark, for coming on the show for this very special Father's Day episode.
Thanks, Damon.
So for the rest of you, may you experience God's desire for you to flourish in every season. Until next time. Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. You can check out more of our content on our YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages by searching for Catalyst Christian Community. If you want to check out our church in person, we meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach. We'd love for you to come out and experience being a part of our church family.